clock came early every morning. Well, we got up about 5:30, and I'm like, man. But to listen to those kids and see them work, take your Bibles, go to Judges chapter 6, just to see them work and do the things they were doing and getting the feedback. It was amazing. Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. And let's go, let's start in verse 6. I'll try to preface it because I'm going to start in verse 1, but we'll be here till dark or later. I was mowing yesterday, and God started dealing with me. I thought I was going to preach this morning, but God had a different plan for this morning altogether. I hope you guys understand this. Some people say about the message or about this or that. This morning, God came in here. So it really wouldn't have mattered what we did. God was here. So, I mean, you can't mess that up. I mean, all you have to do is learn not to get in the way. You know what I mean? So when the big preacher shows up, you just let the big preacher do what he does. And no matter what you say, he's already dealing with people and working on people. It started with a testimony that was given during the men's month. It was then in the Sunday school class, and then it was in the singing, then it was in the... I mean, all it was just a snowball effect, and we just get to play our part, and that's what we're doing. But I was on my lawnmower, I think it was yesterday sometime, and God was still in my heart about this Gideon, you know, Gideon and who he was. And I always like to preface, when I look at the book of Judges, I want you to understand this. Judges is one of the coolest places in the Bible because you understand what God means by judgment. Amen? A lot of times you ever hear people say this, you'll hear it. If you're a Christian long enough and you share your faith long enough, you're going to hear people say stuff like, don't you judge me. If you ain't heard that yet, well, you're not witnessing. No, I'm just kidding. Just stick around a little bit longer, you're going to hear it. Especially if you say, if you keep living this life, right? And, you know, if they've got like an outward sin that's really got a stronghold in their life, drug addiction, alcohol, sexual addiction, whatever the case may be, and you tell them, they'll say, can I just have a liberty right here? They'll say something like, I can't believe this has happened to me. I don't have any money. I can't believe this happened to me. My wife's leaving. I can't believe this is happening. X, Y, whatever it is, right? And you say, well, because this is going on, you're doing this, and that's taking away from everything. And then the first thing they're going to say is, don't judge me. And literally, you can't explain it, but understanding what judgment means to God is, God's people were the Jews, the Israelites, and they'd come out of Egypt, and He'd gave them the promised land. And when they worshipped Him, and they loved Him, and they sought Him, God was their defender, He was their king. Amen? He loved them, and He protected them. He took all the ites. I don't want to name them all, but He took all the ites. The Amorites, the Hittites, you know, all them. He took all the ites and He said, get off my land, right? He took Pharaoh in Egypt and He said, you got to let my people go. So God was an amazing God in their life. But when they started turning from God, maybe from fear or just, you know, well, we'll just worship their gods or do what they do, and we'll just check and look and see over here how much better it can be if we don't have God, then God would judge His people by removing the hedge of protection that He had around His people. Then the people they had defeated then began to defeat and bring fear upon them. Are y'all tracking with me? So the Midianites in this case have surrounded them and they have cut them off. They don't have any food. They don't have any supplies. They don't have any crops. They're just struggling because they turned from God. Amen? And they started doing it. So God's judging His people. And a great thing to know about this is when God judges His people, it has a temporary result. Somebody want to write that down? Because they're already His people. Amen? The Jewish people were His people. When you're saved and you're a Christian, you are His people. If you turn from Him or do something that's not correct or right in the eyes of God, He judges you with a temporary judgment. That's a shouter, Eli. That's when you know, most of them should have went, man, thank God. Praise God for that. Where He judges us in this life by letting us reap what we sow and Him not protecting us always. Are you understanding now? So guess what? The Jewish people would have to go into hiding, into caves, be just surrounded, and their freedom was taken away. But God still loved them eternally. Are y'all good now? Is that good? But then God, now look, I want to show you this. Verse 6, Judges 6:6 is kind of where we're at. But when God brings a judgment against those, amen, people that were taking advantage of them, or the Midianites, or the wicked ones who come in, look in verse 6 with me. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. I think somebody said that this morning, right? We need to cry unto the Lord. A lot of times we got surface prayers, and then we got crying unto the Lord. That's ugly prayers, but it's effective. The Midianites had them surrounded, and the children of God had seen the error of their way, and then they, guess what? They said, you know what? The one who defends us is God, so guess what we're going to do? Oh God, help us! So then God is now going to bring a judge. His name's Gideon. See, the judge comes and he is going to judge the people that are surrounding them or attacking God's people, and it's already finalized. Are y'all getting me? Are y'all tracking right here? There's nothing they can do or can't do to sustain the judgment of God, to put off the judgment of God, because guess what? God has already understood and said, guess what? The Midianites, you're done. And why do I tell you all that? I tell you all that for this reason. We're not here to judge people. We're here to tell them that, guess what? If you keep living that lifestyle and you reject God, you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. One of the dumbest statements I hear on a regular basis is, you can't judge me, the only one to judge me is God. Bingo. You got it right. And He will. What I'm trying to tell you is, stop doing what you're doing and seek Him. And if you seek Him, then He will help you lay down that thing you're doing that we can all see. And then guess what? Then you can live a life that's pleasing unto God and glorifying unto God, and you don't have to live out what you're going through now. All right? So, it's easy. It's hard to deal with that, but guess what? As a Christian, you're going to have to. And be willing to stand there and say, look, I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you what I see. A drunk on a bicycle is a drunk on a bicycle. Amen? You ever seen somebody drunk try to ride a bicycle? It's an adventure. Amen? Amen? It's an adventure. But don't get twisted up on that, because you say, well, them drunks on a bicycle, man, they're easy to spot. Yeah, but they're harder to spot if they're in a BMW. Amen? Sometimes we'll see the same guy riding on a bicycle, and he's drunk or messed up, and you say, man, he's a messed up guy. Guy goes to lunch, gets drunk during lunch, gets in his BMW and drives right by the guy on the bicycle, probably more dangerous than the guy on the bicycle. Amen? I just want to throw that in there, but I just want you to say, listen, there's times when you're going to have to tell people absolute truths. That's killing you. That's destroying you. And you need to change. And they'll say stuff like, you know, stop judging me. Stop prying into my life. But you know what? If they ever turn to the Lord, if they ever seek the Lord, you know, usually the people they'll come back to is the people that shared the truth with them and told them the truth, but in love. Amen? Told them the truth and told them how to get out of their mess. Usually when they get their stuff straightened out, they don't go to the people and say, man, don't listen to them, man. Keep on going. Anyway, let's get out of that, because that's not where we want to be. That's a whole nother message for a whole nother night. So they cried unto the Lord, and it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hands of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all the that oppressed you, and drave them out before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God, fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. You hear what he said? God, why did God do that? He sent him a prophet first. He came and preached a message straight from the Lord. Listen, do you remember how I got you out of your bondage? Why is this important to us tonight? Because he's not talking about a rebel group. He's talking about the Jews or his people. We've been grafted into that fig tree. We were that wild one that was grafted in, right? But now we're grafted in. We are under the same We're under the same promise. Are you got? You got me? So guess what? We're grafted into that. And he's talking to us now. He's saying, look, remember how I got you out of bondage. Don't fall back into bondage. Because guess what, Christians, believers, we can fall back unto bondages. And you know what's going to look like when you do? The enemy's going to be wearing you out. It'll look like what you look like when you were lost. People out be scratching their head because they'll look at you and go, well, I thought that he got saved, or I thought she got saved. What happened is you didn't get unsaved. You just fell back under the bondage of the enemy because you must have forgot where you were when he found you. Amen, preacher. That's good preaching. I remember. See, and God will bring, He'll do what I'm doing right now. He'll bring a prophet, a preacher, to remind you of what He brought you out of. I don't have to, man, God reminds me all the time. Because I get, do you ever get to complaining as a believer? I know there's only four of you to do it, but that's all right. But I complain sometimes as a believer. I'll say little things like, God, why aren't you doing this? And why aren't you doing that? Why aren't you doing this? And did you know about this situation? Did you know about that? Like, God don't know. Amen? Now, God spoke the universe into existence. Amen? He spoke stars into existence and just flung them out in the universe. And they're all mathematically coordinated. And we set our GPS by them. But oh no, God, you can't handle Kevin's issues. But I go to him and act like he can't. Oh Lord, and we wring our hands and we get upset. And we have anxiety and we have anger. And we just tore up out of the front. And we're believers. And guess what? Then every time I'll get on a real good run. I know y'all don't get on good runs like that. But after I get like, not a day in, maybe a week in. No, a week in after you come to the altar and you say, God, I'm over it. I'm done with it. Here you can have it. I'm never going to speak of it, think of it, or even touch it ever again. 6 o'clock the next morning. That reminds me of old so-and-so. Golly, can't believe they're still doing it. And next thing you know, you spent 30 minutes and let them just rent free space in your mind. Did I just say that out loud? Rent free space in your mind. Has anybody ever rented the space in your mind for free? You want to evict them, but you can't. Please get out. You've not paid rent. No, I'll stay. Right? And they're aggravating to deal with because you're thinking about them all the time and you grind. But guess what? We don't have to do that. Because guess what? God then will come back with a preacher or a message or a sermon or a song or somewhere else. And you're sitting there and you're thinking you're doing great. And all of a sudden a song comes on or the message comes on or whatever. And all of a sudden God will remind you, remember where I found you. You were in the pits. You were in the miry clay. You were in the muck. You were in the mud. You were a sinner. You were worse than the person that you're mad about. Well, never mind. We get mad about stuff that we didn't even have a clue. I mean, I didn't even know what the church world was about. I thought I did, but I didn't. I'm going to get mad about stuff. You don't even belong here without me. Never mind. You're just a slave. You were a slave to sin. I rescued you. Remember? And I didn't rescue you like everybody else got rescued. That's what he's telling them. I didn't rescue. I came into Egypt. The strongest military ever, the strongest king ever. And I came down there and just pride, y'all better help me preach. I came down there and I pried every one of his fingers off of you after 400 years and I set you free. I defeated him in every area and I let you walk out on dry ground. And some of y'all are sitting here going, but that was Pharaoh. Man, the devil. And all of his demons. God came down here. God came down here as a man. And pried every one of his fingers off of your life. Remember that. Remember that. Remind yourself of that. Remind you, hey, this is not who I am. I ain't got nothing to be really upset about. I need to get over myself. Man, that's good stuff. Man, that's just, I mean, praise God. Sometimes, God, don't you love that? I do it all the time. I'm going to go to church and I'm going to have a rip and roar time. I'm going to have one of the greatest times of my life at church and get here and God punch you square in the gut 5 seconds in. Everybody else is jumping and shouting and praising and you're sitting over there going, man, that hurt, Lord. It's a good hurt, though. I hear people tell me all the time, they come to me, you stepped on my toes, you kicked my shins. I said, man, go tell everybody in town that your preacher's just beating the tar out of you. That'll get them in here. Christians are weird. We say stuff, don't we? Preacher, you're really stepping on my toes and kicking my shins. Don't tell anybody in your family you had that happen. Amen. But I get it. Hey, you know what? We love it because when we do see ourselves in the message and we do repent, we do get back to where we need to be with the Lord, it's so good. It's good. Ain't nothing like having your father come down and having a good talk with you and getting you squared away. Because you know he could do so much more. Hey, can I preach there just for a second? Have you ever had your dad tell you something and he sat down and he was calm and he was in his right mind? You had done something messed up, and he said, I'm just going to talk to you, son. And you're sitting in the back of your mind going, keep talking. Just don't take your belt off. Amen. And you would sit there and go, yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir. You're right, wise man. God, you're a genius. Handsome genius. Right? But then my dad was cool about it. Then he'd get up and say, well, that's why I'm going to whoop you. Yeah! You understand? But listen, I just want you to understand this. This is what God does. This is why you come to church, too. I know the pastor, it's our job. We got to put a plug in for church. I'm not your typical pastor. Half of you know that already. But listen, I just want you to understand, the benefits of church are unmeasurable in your life. I mean, from cradle to grave. If you stay in the church your whole life, the benefits you'll get from this church or any church you attend are unmeasurable. That the church will go through you through the peaks and valleys of life. Yes, we do have attitude. Yes, we do have personalities. Yes, we do have ups and downs. But guess what? When you get to heaven, outside of your salvation, you'll say, God, thank you for the family. I can't even tell you how many times in the last 10 years of my life that I've said, God, thank you for my family. And you say, my church family. Dave, a lot of times in my life, I've had to rely more on church family than I had my own blood kin. And that's a fact because God's put me in some pretty strange places. And this is number one. I'm just kidding. I had to. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. I did. Hey, at least I didn't say it somewhere else. Amen. Let's jump on down. Man, that was terrible, wasn't it? Verse 11. Now, Kyle, go back and erase that out of the message. And there came an angel. That's verse 11. Look. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak tree, or an oak which was at Ophrah, and pertained unto Joash the Abzerite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Mighty man of valor. Ain't that amazing? I love how God does stuff like that. I looked up Romans 4:17. It says, that as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Talking about Abraham. Abraham. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. And call us those things which be not as though they were. Gideon is threshing wheat on the winepress floor. Amen? He's hiding from the enemy. He's doing something that doesn't belong there. Amen? The enemy will have you operating in times and places that you never planned on operating. There's like four or five in here should have said, amen, I know what you're talking about, brother. See, the enemy will get you operating different than normal society. If he takes over your life, you'll be doing things in places that you would think, that's just strange. Amen? Oh, Gideon's down there in the wine press. See, a threshing floor was a big open place on the top of a hill. That way, when you threw the wheat up in the air would catch all the heavy stuff or the light stuff, the chaff, and it would blow away and the wheat would fall back on the ground. The wine press was usually in a valley and it was usually covered. So he's down there throwing his wheat up in the air and everything's probably just coming back down together. Amen? But I had to say this about Gideon. Even though God's calling him a mighty man of honor and a valuable man, he might not feel it, he might not see it, he might not believe it, but he is. Oh, never mind. He might not know it yet, but he is. Some of you might not know it, but God sees you differently than you see yourself. Even when the enemy has you operating in weird places and at weird times. He's sitting there throwing that wheat in the air, and all of a sudden an angel's sitting over there. Wouldn't that be weird? The angel of the Lord is sitting there and calls him out, and says something about him that he's not, while he's absolutely already operating in a different way. I'm not a mighty man. I am not a fighting man. Matter of fact, I am a hiding man. And I'm down here sifting wheat where you shouldn't be sifting wheat. But I started thinking, at least maybe God honored the fact that he was doing something at all. Where were all the other men? Maybe he got up and said, you know what? My family's going to starve without some bread and without some food. And I better not go up on the top where I'll have to fight every Midianite in town. But maybe, just maybe, if I go down there where they wouldn't think to go, because there are no grapes and there's nothing being processed down there, but maybe if I go down there and work. So maybe God said, you know what? God will take your... You think he's going to take your strengths and work with them? You ever thought of that? God's going to take all my strengths and all my abilities and all my talents. And he's going to use those. Usually he takes your weaknesses and your fears and where you say you won't go and what you won't do. And God says, all right, make me a list again. You're scared of this. You're fearful of that. You won't go there and you don't want to do that. Great. That's going to be the top five list of what you're going to do. If you've been in Christianity, if you've been in faith over 10 years, you've lived that right there. Because there's some things you said, I'll never do. And God, I don't think nothing makes God laugh any harder than that. I love it. I bet when God says, man, you are such a joker, you're going to do that first. Amen? But I think he honored this. I might be wrong. I don't know. But I just look at it and think, man, you know what? At least he was thinking. He ain't going to lose his wheat. Amen. It might take longer. It might be harder. It might be a weirder process. And guess what? He is fearful, but he's doing something. You know what? A lot of times, I was told this when I first got into ministry. He said, Kevin, I like you because you're like a horse. You're not like a donkey. He used a different word. He said, with you, I've got to say, whoa, 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 instead of go, go, go. Amen. Sometimes God would rather him to have to say, whoa, 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 than always reminding you to go, go, go. Because sometimes we'll just sit around and go, God, will you show me? God, will you tell me? God, will you explain exactly? Oh, yeah, God, I see the sign. Now, somebody will say like this, you're driving the road. God, will you give me a sign? And you'll get behind a car that's loaded down with signs. Road signs and everything. Go this way, go that way, do this, do that. Oh, we have a God, I need a real sign. Then all of a sudden, you know, the clouds will go from no rain, all of a sudden, boos, and lightning. And all of a sudden, you'll pull over, somebody will meet you. My name's so-and-so, and God sent me. And you'll be sitting there going, but can I get it in writing, Lord? Can you make it clearer, man? But that's not how the Bible works. He said, Abraham, come out from all your people. Come out from all your people. Come out from your father, your mother, your kinsfolk. And I'm going to give you a land, and I'm going to make you a father of many nations. Okay. But then God didn't talk to him for years and years and years and years and years and years and years after that. That's why I worry about people who says, God said, and God said, and God said, and God said, and make God out to be a chatty Cathy. Amen? Especially when they say, God told me to do this, and then a week later, God told me to do the opposite. Well, either God's bipolar or you're lying. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? God's not bipolar. And God, a lot of times, wants you to live by faith. And when He tells you to go do something, He's not going to tell you the hows, when, why, and who's going to help. He just wants you to go because He's God. Yeah, are y'all understand what I'm saying? You know when He said that to Abraham? He said, you are going to come out of them. I've got a land for you. Abraham never lived that in that land permanently. And He said, I will make you a father of many nations. He was an old man before he had one kid. He had a nephew. Amen? And he had a beautiful wife. That's all he had. Then one day God gave him his child. And guess what? We are all descendants now of Father Abraham. Amen? We are all in that. He was right. As far as the stars are in the sky and the sands on the sea, we are in that lineage. But what if Abraham had said, well, God, you're going to have to give me a real detailed plan on this deal. He don't do that. A lot of times he don't do that. You just got to trust him. You mighty man of valor. What does he do when he calls him a mighty man of valor? Gideon says, and Gideon said unto him, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles with our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? He throws out an excuse, and God throws back go. Amen? Did you see that? God, where's all the... Remember, you brought us out of Egypt. You gave us all these promises and all the miracles. Where are those? We're surrounded. The enemy's wearing us out. He did not mention the fact that they had turned their back on God. Amen? He just wanted to know why God, why are you not holding up your end? God's like, I'm always holding up my end. God's always holding up His end. So he looks at him and he says, hey, go down there and defeat them. Did I not send thee? Question mark. Did I not send it? If I ask it, if I said it, if I told you who you are, it's a fact. Whether you believe it or not, it's a fact. God, man, I love that. I mean, God will just wear you out with this stuff. Do y'all remember when David first went up to the kingdom? I just preached this a couple weeks ago. Do y'all remember? Saul was having nightmares. Do y'all remember? They had just anointed King David as the next king of Israel. He was the one who was left on the outside. They anointed him with the king. They anointed him as the next king, but he didn't go up to the palace as the next king, did he? Matter of fact, he went back out to watch the sheep. That's fun, ain't it? But then all of a sudden they said, hey, the king's having nightmares. And there was one servant of the king. Hey, I know a man who can play a mighty mean harp. He didn't say it that way. That's not King James, I promise. I know it's not. It's not. I said, he didn't say, I know a man who plays a mighty mean harp. It don't say that in there. He just said, I know there was a man who's a cunning player of the harp. Not a mighty mean one, all right? But he can play the harp, and he is a mighty valiant man, and he's a man of war. Wait a minute. You've not seen him be in a war. You don't know if he's a valiant man. Now, you might have heard him play a couple chords on the old harp, but I don't know. Why'd you say that? Because he wasn't speaking. He wasn't speaking of what David had done. He spoke of what he's going to do. God sees your life a lot differently than you see it. Aren't you glad? Boy, he's like, man, this guy right here. You know what? And he got sent up there to camp. I like to preach a whole message on that right there. A lot of times God's going to send you by the most weird ways you think it's going to be through meeting this person or shaking hands with that guy or you're going to connect on this level. Nope. It's usually some person that you've never met who tells another person that you've never met, and the next thing you know, you're doing that thing that God sent you to do. So stop trying to figure it out. Right now, if my plan had come together, my mighty plan of ministry, I'd be in Cleveland, Tennessee, about 2 miles from where I started in the first church I ever went to. Thank God I'm not there. Amen? That was my big plan. Somebody told me, there's a church over there, and that guy right there, and he knows, and I'm like, wow, that'd be really cool. And you know what? God said, no way, not in a million years. You know how I ended up where I was at? I got started in full-time ministry. I walked up under a bridge looking for some homeless people. That's it. That's how I got into full-time ministry, hunting homeless people under a bridge. Where do they live? Where do they eat? What do they wear? What do they need? I ran into one. I'm like, hey, where do you eat? What do you wear? What do you need? How can I help you? They're like, who are you? I said, I'm just some crazy looking to help homeless people. He said, there's a place across the street called Providence Ministries. You can go over there. They'll tell you everything you need to know. Awesome. Amen? Met another guy. Next thing you know, we're in full-time ministry. Guess what? That's how we end up at Flat Top Church. Right here where we're standing today. And I didn't even know this place existed. Amen? I had no clue. I remember driving by here one time because I made a wrong turn off the other mountain. I'm serious. I drove by this church and I said, oh, that's a cool little church. Amen? No clue whatsoever that God was going to say one day, hey, look right there. This is where you're going to be. Amen? That's how God works. Amen? Well, I want to show you. Let's finish this up. Have I not sent thee? Verse 15. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor, and Manasseh, I am the least in my father's house. Man, good ones. Good stuff. Keep giving God your excuses. We're very poor, Lord, right? And I am the least in my house. He said, I'm the youngest. You don't need me. Disqualified. Remember what he told him when he first met him? When the angel first met him, he's a direct messenger from God, he told him, you're a mighty man of valor. And everything he said up to this point doesn't add up to that. But every time he gives God an excuse, God gives him back a rebuttal that says, that's not who you are. Man, that's good. I know this message ain't got goosebumps. I know you're not running up and down the aisles. But let me tell you something. Wouldn't it make you feel better if you know that God sees you differently and how you see yourself and definitely how other people see you? Man, this guy sitting there going, I'm the poorest person and I'm the youngest person. I'm not qualified. God keeps saying you are qualified. Look at verse 16. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Ain't this crazy? God said, listen, he says, I am poor. We are the poorest people in Manasseh. We're the poorest people in the tribe of Manasseh. I am the youngest person in my family. God, please disqualify me. Some of y'all have done this. God, please disqualify me from serving you. I've got so much stuff in my past. And you give him a list of it. I'm not smart enough, and I'm not this, and I've always been this way, and this. And God says, I'm with you. No, before we leave you, I got to get this. The reason you're going to defeat the Midianites, the reason you're going to be successful, the reason you're going to smite them as one man is not because of who you are, it's because of who I am. If you can get it, if you'll let me in your life, I will make who you are through me. And that's a different deal. Amen? Let's all stand as they come get a song. This is the first installment of Gideon. The first installment. We're going to come back and revisit this because it gets better. But I just want to introduce you to Gideon tonight and introduce maybe to you, if there's somebody in here in our church who feels like you got a calling on your life. And God's wanting to do something with you that more than just for you to come to church. Maybe He's wanting you to preach, or maybe He's wanting you to teach, or maybe He's wanting you to take up some kind of work that's a mission-minded work. And you keep giving Him examples of why you can't, just like Gideon did. But He's looking at you and saying, I'm not going to do it because of who you are. I'm going to do it because of who I am. Amen? So stop giving the excuses. And there's other excuses. I'm too young or I'm too old. Amen? I'm not smart enough. I'm not got enough money. I ain't got enough time. Whatever the case may be. Stop giving them all that and just say, God, I surrender. And whatever you want to do and whatever you want to do in my life, I'll let you do it. As they sing.